The gospel of Jesus Christ is not about making bad people good. It's not what this is about right now. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about making dead people alive.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. We're glad you've dialed us in here today. We're thankful that you're here. My name is Craig Turnbull, and I get to be the host of this program. And joining me in our studio is our teacher, Pastor Robbie Simons. And hey, you've joined us in the middle of a series on the Holy Spirit. Some people call the Holy Spirit, Robbie, the forgotten God, and that's with some mixed reasons, right?
Yeah, and like we're trying to really come at this from this angle too. Again, such an important time of teaching, and I'm very expectant for this series here at Living the Light. I think a lot of our listeners are going to be encouraged and desire to really stay with us day by day, because they'll start to understand, if I don't have a true understanding of the Holy Spirit, then I can't have a true understanding of God Himself. And I think all of us listening right now would say, I want to know the Lord. You want to know the Lord fully. You cannot neglect, you cannot forget any part of the Trinity. And especially now we see God, the Holy Spirit. So this is, again, such a critical series that we're seeking to know God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And today's message is specifically centered on the Holy Spirit and His role in regeneration. Regeneration is really a big theological term describing how we are born again. We are made new. We become new creations. This is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit. And Jesus specifically said, you must be born again. When this message was preached in our circles, it's amazing how many people desired to tune in, because I think it's such an important message to distinguish between those who are religious and those who are actually in relationship with Jesus Christ. Religion won't get you into heaven. Relationship with Jesus Christ does. You cannot be in relationship unless you're regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. Today's message is 100% about that. Lean in, get ready. God wants to work, and we're excited to hear from you how the Holy Spirit is working in your lives at this time.
Amen. Well, as Robbie said, we would love to hear from you. So if God's been stirring in your heart and even encouraging you through the message today, please make sure you reach out and let us know how. It's a huge encouragement to us as well. Our website is liveinthelight.ca, and our phone works also. It's 1-844-22-LIGHT. All right, let's go to John chapter 3 with today's message, the Holy Spirit and regeneration. Here again is Robbie.
Please open your Bibles to John chapter 3, and we will be spending our day today there in the first 8 verses. John chapter 3, give you a moment to turn there. Again, the first 8 verses. I'm excited to see where God will take us today as well. Let me just say this as we start. Christians are not just nice people. Now listen carefully. They are supposed to be new people. Christians are not just, Anthony Hokima said this, Christians are not just nice people. They are supposed to be new people. That is the theme for today. On the same note, it has been said that the gospel of Jesus Christ, or the reason Jesus Christ came and lived and died and rose again, was not to make bad people good, but to make dead people alive. Now, there's a massive difference between morality and eternal life. I'll say it again. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not about making bad people good. It's not what this is about right now. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about making dead people alive. And with that, we continue in the second week of the Holy Spirit. And today, our topic, our sermon title is this, the Holy Spirit and regeneration. The Holy Spirit and regeneration. Now, regeneration is a big word to some, but it needs to be a beautiful word to all. And the reason we're in the second week on this topic of the Holy Spirit and regeneration
is because all of spiritual life begins with the instantaneous event of regeneration, which is only accomplished by the Holy Spirit of God. So all of spiritual life, as it pertains to us, begins with the doctrine of regeneration, which is hand in hand, fully tied to the person of the Holy Spirit within the Trinity. So let us learn about the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, because that is what it is. C.S. Lewis, in his book, his foundational book called Mere Christianity, he distinguishes between two kinds of life. And he defines these two different kinds of life with two Greek words. One being bios, the second one being zoe. He goes on to explain every single person ever born has the bios life, where we get our word biological from. Every person ever born has a physical life. They have a biological life within them. But then he says, but zoe life is different. Zoe life describes the spiritual life, listen, which only God can give when we are what the Bible calls born again, another term for regeneration. Born again can also be translated born from above. So you have the biological life, bios, the spiritual life, zoe, and he goes on to say that these two lives are not just different, they actually oppose one another. Because the bios life is essentially self-centered. Where the zoe life, the spiritual life, is actually God-centered and therefore is others-centered as well. Let me summarize by putting this on the screen for those who are trying to catch up with what we're saying. C.S. Lewis says the bios life is a physical life, essentially self-centered. The other kind of life that we dwell on today, the most important life, the life that matters, the life that brings spiritual life to us, is the zoe life, spiritual, eternal, God-centered, and others-centered. Now see this, and this is for so many here right now. Only God, by His Holy Spirit, can produce zoe through what the Bible calls regeneration. Only God can produce spiritual life. We cannot produce spiritual life in and of ourselves. So this is where the Holy Spirit and regeneration become everything. Because there is no true spiritual life apart from regeneration. Now, some might be a little bit still confused. Let me do another lap around the track and try to get some more people with us. Here's a definition of regeneration. Again, a big word, but it has a very powerful, in some ways, simplistic meaning. It is the secret act of God. It's a secret act of God, the Holy Spirit, because in a sense, it's invisible. You can't hold it. You can't necessarily show people. It's of God. It's not of us. We can't produce this. It's the secret act of God, the Holy Spirit, in which He, the Holy Spirit, imparts new spiritual life to us. Again, sometimes this is also called being born again, as we will see in Scripture today, specifically from John chapter 3. There is no true spiritual life apart from the Holy Spirit. There is no true spiritual life apart from the Holy Spirit, and therefore regeneration. This takes us to John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Loved ones, Christians are not just to be nice people. They are supposed to be new people. This is what the Bible tells us today. As we read the first 8 verses, notice the paramount theme of being born again within this text. 5 times in 8 verses, this phrase in some form, in some way, is brought up by Jesus. Whenever you're reading Scripture and you see something appear 5 times in 8 verses, that is the Holy Spirit saying to you undeniably, this is what this passage is about. Circle it, underline it, highlight it. No, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you when you come to Scripture and you see something repeated over and over and over again. John 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, For no one can do these things that you do, these signs that you do, unless God is with them. And Jesus answered him, here we go. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, confused, I added that, said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, silly Nicodemus. Oh, that's my insert as well. He says this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see the theme developing here? Verse 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. The term born again is thrown around all over the place in our day. Some use it in a derogatory fashion. Some use it to describe any person who's ever kind of walked into a church. But I want you to see just how biblical this phrase really is, regardless of how you've heard it used in the past. Well, again, what does it mean to be born again? What does it really mean? R.C. Sproul is very helpful here. R.C. Sproul says that to be born again is a second Genesis. It is a new beginning. It is a fresh start in life. One theologian describes being born again or regeneration as a spiritual explosion in the heart and soul of a human being. Literally, a spiritual explosion that takes place that quickens that soul to true life in Jesus Christ. When something is started, we say it is generated. If it is started again, it is regenerated. In biblical terms then, regeneration, being born again, means we go from being spiritually dead human beings to being spiritually alive human beings. So let me say it again. Spiritual life is impossible apart from regeneration. And regeneration, loved ones, is impossible apart from the Holy Spirit of God. And that is precisely why Jesus had this conversation with Nicodemus in John 3 and verses 1 to 8. And this leads us now to our outline. We are discovering today the power of Holy Spirit regeneration. Why is Holy Spirit regeneration so powerful, so marvelous, so amazing? Let's find out together. Point number one of our outline. The reason is this, because in regeneration, I am given spiritual sight. Notice, I am given. I don't earn this. I can't have this for myself. It must be given to me. I am given spiritual sight. Look at John 3, verse 1. A man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, you're a teacher come from God. We know this. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless, let's make every word count as we go through this too. We're going to try to do that, okay? Every word count as we meditate on God's word. By the way, when you're meditating on scripture, one of the definitions of that is make every word count. Why is it there? Holy Spirit put it here. Sit on it. Discover. Don't just skip over stuff. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, in verse 1, we're introduced to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Notice the Bible continues to expand. He's a ruler of the Jews. So what God's word wants us to know there about this man named Nicodemus, he is religious, Pharisee. He is educated, even by his name, Nicodemus. He is influential. He's a ruler of the Jews. Now, we believe based on other portions of scripture that speak about Nicodemus, that he came with sincerity to Jesus, but he also came with a background of theological assumption. You see, the Jews believed that by their racial identity, they would enter heaven. So they believed based on the fact that they were born Jewish, that by their physical birth, that God would gain them access into heaven. Now, what Jesus says next would blow to smithereens this assumption. It would blow it up into pieces. So look again at verse 3. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, notice what Nicodemus does. He shows up and he wants to talk to Jesus about Jesus' teaching. He wants to talk to Jesus about Jesus' signs. But Jesus, what he does, he puts all that to the side right away. He's like, we're not talking about my teachings right now. We're not talking about the signs I've done right now. We're going to talk about, Nicodemus, the only thing you need right now. And the one thing you need right now, you need to know that unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. See what Jesus does? He's not concerned with the fluff, man. He talks to him where he is and what he needs most. And Jesus does the same today. He cuts through all the fluff and he comes and meets you and I where we are and he tells us what we need to know the most. Why? Because he loves us so. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus says, truly, truly, translated in other places, most assuredly, literally, amen, amen. Why does Jesus say that to Nicodemus? Because he means business. He's not wasting words. He wants Nicodemus' attention. What he's about to say, when he says truly, truly, what he's about to say carries such serious significance. And you know, I don't take that for granted today at all, that Jesus speaks to us all today and he says, and to some, he speaks directly into your life and he looks at you spiritually and he says, truly, truly, I say to you. Yeah, he said to Nicodemus, but he's saying it to us today too. He's saying it to some very, very specific people here today. That's awesome. That's so, this is what the Holy Spirit does. Takes the words of Jesus Christ and says, truly, truly, I say to you. Truly, truly, I say to you. My advice to you is that when Jesus begins to speak, pay very close attention because your life could change forever. Notice his very next word here. It's the word unless. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless. Now, unless here becomes within God's word, in the Greek, it becomes a necessary condition. See, whatever follows from unless is a non-negotiable requirement. So in other words, there are no exceptions to the spiritual equation that follows. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless. Whatever follows from there, it's a spiritual equation which doesn't have any exceptions. You can't negotiate it. Now, what is the spiritual equation that follows? Jesus says, look at verse 3. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we're learning here, regeneration, being born again, equals spiritual sight. Non-negotiable. No exceptions to this. Where there is no regeneration, then, we also are learning, then there is spiritual blindness. With regeneration, spiritual sight. Without regeneration, spiritual blindness, no exceptions. You're not halfway. You're not partially born. You're either dead or alive. You're either reborn spiritually or you're not at all. You're either regenerated or you're not. You're either filled with spiritual vision or you have spiritual blindness. And in this room right now, there are people with spiritual vision and there are also people with spiritual blindness. This is why Jesus speaks so frankly and so seriously, but so lovingly. Because he cares for us so much. Consider the impact and the implications of Jesus' words when he says, unless you are born again, born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Fundamentally, one of the greatest implications of this statement is this, receive it for what it is, human beings cannot save themselves. So Jesus is saying right here, it's impossible for a human being to create spiritual life within themselves. Now, what Nicodemus brings to the table with Jesus as he comes by night, he brings with him religion. He brings with him morality. He brings with him sincerity. He brings with him good deeds. But listen, what Nicodemus also brings to the table with Jesus, he brings his own sin. And where there's sin, there is death. There is bondage and there is blindness. See, this is why a person can sit in church for weeks, months, years, and even decades, They can sit in church. They can sing in church. They can serve in church. They can even be a member of a church and even a leader in the church and yet not be saved. Because they can play the game of religion, but they've never been truly regenerated and exhibiting and demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, which can only be accomplished and produced by God Himself. There are people in this room right now who have never truly been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Yes, there is religion, but there's never been genuine relationship because you and I cannot create that or produce it. Who is it? I don't know. God does. But for every one of us to examine our lives and our hearts and to hear the words of Jesus, you must be born again. Think of the Pharisees themselves, Nicodemus being a Pharisee. The Pharisees looked at Jesus. The Pharisees spoke with Jesus. The Pharisees hated Jesus because they were spiritually blind. This is why Matthew 23, Jesus looks at the Pharisees and he says, "You are whitewashed tombs." He says, "You are beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness." You're whitewashed tombs. Show up to church, do the right things, put on the right clothes, say the right language, do the right activities. But in reality, people in this place, and I don't mean to offend anyone in this moment right now, but here you need to know the theological reality of what we're saying right here from John chapter 3. People sitting in this place without regeneration, the reality is they are actually corpses who happen to be in a building called a church. But there's no real life. Because Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But listen, listen. But when the power of regeneration occurs, everything changes. Everything changes. When regeneration comes to town, everything is flipped. Life begins. Sight is all of a sudden perceived. Hearing is upon that person. The love they feel, the sense of the Holy Spirit of God, they see their sin. One of the first instances of regeneration is I see my sin for what it is, and then I run to the Savior who can wash me clean from my sin. John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, he tried to articulate his life before Christ as a slave ship captain. He was the most vile of individuals, most disgusting in his character, most evil in heart. And for reasons he could not explain, God the Father looked down upon him. Jesus Christ saved him from his sins. The Holy Spirit quickened his life, regenerated him. He was born again, and he began to try to describe and pen the words to articulate what has occurred in his life. And part of what he wrote down was this: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." You see, this is what he's saying. I can see, I can see, I can see. When regeneration occurs, what do we see? We see the kingdom of God, verse 3. And when you see the kingdom of God, you see the love of God, you see the love of Jesus Christ, you hear the reality that he is the one that gives all life and love and joy and satisfaction and forgiveness and grace and mercy and peace. And no wonder you jump, no wonder you cry, no wonder you fall down, no wonder you can't get over and have to tell all the people around you that you are now alive because Jesus Christ has set you free from sin, death, and Satan. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Regeneration quickens the soul, quickens the mind, allows us to hear and see and love. Everything changes at the moment of Holy Spirit regeneration. I've always loved the story so much of Pastor William Haslam. He was ordained into the Church of England in 1842. Now listen, he was a conscientious, he was a pastor. Conscientious, serious man, an authority in history and architecture. Probably very moral, very upright, trying to do much good. But sadly, the one thing he wasn't was truly saved. It was in 1851. He was 9 years after his ordination. It was 9 years as a clergy member in the Church of England. 9 years as a pastor preaching God's word week in, week out. He was preaching from the gospel of the day. His text was, "What do you think about the Christ?" And it was during his own sermon on this day, listen, that the Holy Spirit opened his spiritual eyes, regeneration, to see the Christ of whom he was speaking. Instantly, his heart was moved to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the amazing part, kind of the funny part too. The change upon the preacher was so obvious that a local preacher who was in church jumped up and shouted, "The pastor is converted." And he said, "Hallelujah." And everyone in the church could see it and they knew it. And instantly, 300 to 400 voices in the congregation began to shout praises. William Haslam himself joined in the praise. The people sang and worshiped and exalted their God over and over again. Just imagine being there that day as the pastor is saved and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. News spread like wildfire. Here's the news. The pastor was converted. Imagine that. Revival broke out lasting 3 years, filled with God's presence, and the Reverend Haslam, his ministry later ended up being leading other clergy to true faith in Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? What is that? That's the power of Holy Spirit regeneration. What are we learning? We're learning this. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, even as a pastor of a church. The power of Holy Spirit regeneration means that I'm given spiritual sight. And I prove it with the life that I live as evidence he has quickened my soul to life. Do we have the evidence of true Holy Spirit regeneration in our lives and hearts? Number two, the power of Holy Spirit regeneration, I receive spiritual life. So I'm given spiritual sight, but now I receive spiritual life. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, the response of Nicodemus here is almost comical. In fact, it is a little bit comical. He's suggesting, well, then should a man re-enter his mother's womb and be born a second time? Now, what Nicodemus didn't do here, he did not distinguish between biological birth and spiritual birth. He did not distinguish between the bios life and the zoe life. He did not and could not see the difference between the flesh and the spirit. And the majority of our world lives in this state right now. They cannot differentiate or see the difference between the flesh and the spirit. So many in this world are absolutely obsessed with temporal flesh while they remain completely oblivious to the eternal soul. Notice how much this conversation means to Jesus. He pulls out another, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Truly, truly, I say to you. He's saying, Nicodemus, listen, listen, you got to hear me. Nicodemus, you must listen to me. Nicodemus, you must understand this truth. You know what I love about Jesus? Jesus, when he said these words, he knew very well this would become the word of God. He knows all things. He knew very well the Holy Spirit write this down through the Apostle John. He knew that for centuries after he said this, literally billions and billions of people would also hear this phrase, "Truly, truly, I say to you." He knew, Jesus knew when he said it at that exact moment, that at this time, in this year, in this land, in this town, in this room, in your aisle, in your seat, he knew precisely this verse would be said over your life and mine. "Truly, truly, I say to you."
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light. Oh, yeah.